We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back. Hour number two of The Instigators. And Riv and I just talking off the air. We're just waiting on Jeremy Roenick from Portugal, see if he connects. Shouldn't be an issue. A point just made up, like the adamancy. I'm stealing that word from Jeff, by the way. The adamancy, though, of not having to make a trade.
What's adamancy mean?
Adamancy, meaning he was adamant about, hey, we do not have to make a trade.
Yeah, there
like,
you
hey,
go.
We do Thank not you. Have to make a deal. And, you know,
we have our guys signed.
We went through ARB. Everyone's under contract. And you're at the cap number. And there's also potential IR relief, depending on who's hurt. And I think the comment is huge when the general manager says, we're not afraid to send one-way contracts to the minors. You can get 1.1 in cap relief like they did with Molson.
Yep.
And he's not going to get into players who, I think we know who the candidates are, but I think performance all, it's what it all comes down to. If they show up and they're not good, you're gone. And, you know, you show up and maybe you're not healthy. And we don't know Bogosian's status either. I would have to assume that in a year as big as this is for Zach and how well he played when he was healthy, he rides out the entire time of his rehabilitation so he comes back 100%.
No
they have
question.
Enough defensemen to get through the time, come back, be healthy, no injuries. And that alone, if that takes him through October, no player wants to do that. They want to get back. But that also buys his team $5.1 million for the first month and gives him a month to make decisions.
No question. I mean, you want to make sure. Zach Bogosian last year was a big part of the defense. I thought that he played quite well when he was in the lineup. And I think Zach, with his injury history over the years, he wants to make sure that when he does come back, he is going to be very close to 100%. So,
JR, are you 100% or are you hashtag in one?
I am 100%. I'm better than 100%.
How's Portugal? Rivs is back. You want to say hi to Rivs?
Hey, Rivs, welcome back.
What's
You're
going on?
Vacation.
You know, as soon
you
as
must
I
be 100% too.
Oh, I am 110%. There's no question about it. And as soon as I heard your name, you know what song came into my mind? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Remember that? I watched that with my little daughter there, and. Anyway,
so
you
good.
Are all over the world. I don't even understand how you live life. It is absolutely the most amazing. We're now in Portugal. How is Portugal?
If you were a candle, you'd be burning from both ends, man.
I am burning from both ends. And trust me, I am loving every minute of it. And Portugal, I don't know if you guys have ever been over here, but it is so spectacular. I've always wanted to come here. Obviously, everybody goes, you know, that comes over to Europe, they go to Spain or Italy or France. I will tell you, this Portugal is just a hidden gem, and the food is amazing, the wine is amazing, the architecture is amazing. Yeah, I would tell you, definitely come over here. We've had a blast already.
How is the weather?
The weather is right now, it's very similar to what L.A. is like right now. It's, it's kind of a microclimate here, kind of like Southern California, beautiful, never snows here. It's like a little overcast. You know how you have that marine layer that sits over the water. It's nice and cool. It's 3:30 in the afternoon, and absolutely, it's a spectacular, spectacular feeling.
Trust me. Have you always been this worldly? I mean, you're all over the place. Do you love to travel, or is this something you just started to do later on in life?
No, I've always traveled, and I've been to many places in the world. But I think, if you have the ability to do it, you got to go out and see other countries, see other cultures, see how people live, see how they eat. You know, there's so many wonderful places in the world. And, I obviously we love America, but when you go out and see how the world is and how it lives, you love coming back to America. There's no question. But you have an appreciation for, how the world works. I'll tell you, the food here, guys, it's like nothing like I've had the. It's like the king's capital of seafood here, and the taste and what they've been. I went to a place yesterday where they had the best ceviche I've ever had. We have no idea how to make ceviche in America. We are absolutely dumb when it comes to ceviche here. I almost fell off my seat. It was so good yesterday. So
Now, are you over there? Are you over there just with your wife?
No, Catherine Tappan's with us. So Catherine, myself, and Tracy, the three of us are here for 10 days.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, one of you guys can come over and be Catherine's date if you wanted to.
Well, Petey was creeping her out on Instagram or whatever. I don't know.
I don't have Instagram. Yeah, well, good one. Good try, though. See, Riz, see, you know what happens when a guy tries to throw his buddy under the bus, but he's not informed? He's the one that comes out looking like an idiot, JR. I mean, the shoe fits with Riv. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something else. We have not talked a lick of hockey yet. This guy came in today, okay? I had to leave. JR, I left the premises. We work at New. When you come into town, first, actually, you know what? Are you coming into NBC for NBC games? The Sabres have 3 home games this year. Are we going to see you for one of them?
Listen, I put in a request last year to come to Buffalo.
Sure, you did,
but we didn't even come to Buffalo. This NBC didn't even come. But I think after obviously we put on more Buffalo games than we do any other team in the National Hockey League. It would be only smart to come there and do something in person. So trust me, during our meetings in next month, I will be putting in the request. We got to do something in Buffalo. So you know I'll be pushing it.
All right. So amazing. Then you can come out to the studio and check us out and hang out with us for a couple hours, or we'll come down and do the show from down there. But I had to leave today because Riv was so negative. It was absolutely unbearable. And, I mean, that's how I remember him as a player.
That's not like you, Riv. What was he negative about?
You know what I have to say, JR, is soft. That's what we're. That's what I'm dealing with.
I'm one of these coddled millennials, JR. I can't handle being yelled at.
You know what? I felt uncomfortable. He left the building. He went and got a coffee, came back, and I gave him the biggest hug ever, and we danced around for a little while, so we're all better.
Yeah.
That's a sight. You should have videoed that.
I felt like Ralph Krueger dealing with the guys on the Sabres this year, where he's going to have to give some hugs to some of these young guys.
And what's wrong with that? JR, why can't coaches give players hugs nowadays in terms of the emotional hug, in terms of, like, boost them up instead of beat them down back when you guys played?
Hey, listen. It's. I think it's a must right now. It is without question. I think a mandatory hug hour for all players to make them feel comfortable and good and trust their coach. And you know, it's kind of funny. I got to tell you a story. I met the new owner of the Arizona Coyotes the other day. Super guy, really nice guy. Don't think he knows much about hockey, and he had this little dog, a little dog with a sweater on. I don't know what kind of dog it was, but he obviously was carrying it. And it had an emotional, like a emotional dog. What do they call those?
A service dog,
but the emotional dogs, you know, they protect you emotionally. What do they call those dogs? Come on, help me.
You're the worldly guy, man. I don't know. You should know this. You're in Portugal. What do they call it? What do they say? What do they call it in Portuguese?
What do they call the little dogs that for emotion? What do they call those? Support dogs. Oh. Emotional support dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, emotional support
Tough
dogs.
Word to come up
so
with.
He had one of those. Yeah, so he had one of those, right? And I'm kind of wondering, did he get this emotional support from an NHL hockey team? Because he was in the rink, looking at the rink, and he's from L.A., and I think he's Cuban. I think that's his nationality. And he was learning the ropes, and I kind of had a little chuckle because he was such a nice guy, but he could tell that he was just in awe of everything that was around him at the arena and with John Chyka and all that stuff. And it sounds like he's going to be great for the Arizona Coyotes. He's going to put some money in. He's going to allow the team to spend some money. He's going to try to build a new arena. Wants to build a new practice arena. So
are they finally going down to Scottsdale?
That's kind of their plan, what they're trying to do, and the new owner is definitely seems to be in favor of it. So whether he has an emotional support dog or not, he's going to emotionally and financially support this team, which they haven't had in a long time. And I think that's really good news for the National Hockey League.
Excellent.
So let's talk. Jack both on Eichel, obviously, you know, the Sabre-related conversation. He's at 15 on both of your lists. Couple guys, leapfrog guys, other guys dropped. Where do you see the top 20 centers, and how'd you come up with your guys?
Well, I thought it was a pretty good list that they put together. I you know, with Sidney Crosby having, you know, grown another year older, with the young guys really kind of taking over the spot. I thought Nathan MacKinnon with the playoffs that he had last year, with the season that he's had the last 2 years, I thought he was, had the right to jump up to that number two spot ahead of Sidney Crosby. You know, he pretty much carried that team on his back, especially when Rantanen and Landeskog went down. MacKinnon was just a beast. I think, I don't think many people would argue that fact. I actually struggled by moving Barkov. You know, Barkov's one of those guys who's kind of under the radar. He plays in Florida. You know, he has that ability to disappear every once in a while. So I tried to, you know, I moved the Tavares and Austin Matthews up a little bit. I think they're more of a dynamic scorer than Barkov is, but that was a hard one for me. And I thought about putting Giroux in there, you know, and taking away Monahan, although Giroux kind of moved to the wing. But I even thought about moving Eichel up maybe to 11 or 12. But again, he's got to find a way to get that team into the playoffs. If he can do that, he's going to move up a lot in my list, at least.
The only disconnect I have with your list, because I really do like your list.
I even like that he threw Hans Kopitar in there too. Still,
but right now, let me see.
What are you looking at?
Why do you not have? Who do you have at 10, JR?
Braden Point.
Oh, does he have Braden Point?
Yeah. Okay. The list is right here.
Cut off there. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I love your list. I absolutely love your top 10 and the way that you have them. I agree 100% with what you have.
Yeah, I moved Stamkos down a little bit, only for a couple different reasons. I think he's got so much talent around him. I think his scoring has kind of dropped a little bit in terms of his dynamic scoring over the last couple of years. So, you know, I sometimes don't even see him as a centerman. I think he's a winger at times, you know, for whatever crazy reason I think that. But I just moved him down a little bit. I thought the other guys have the ability to move up again. So, you know, I did that.
I like it. I like it a lot. I have Jack Eichel higher up than 15. I don't have him in the top 10. But I believe that Jack Eichel.
I would have put him at 11. Yeah.
That's exactly what I said to Petey yesterday. I believe that he can go as high as 11 right now with what he's done in his game. I know he's not surrounded with the same type of team as a lot of these other players. I think he would be, obviously, if he was on a stronger team and had more backing on the second and third lines, I think his point totals would be even higher. And I think he's actually 100%. Started to come into his own. He's a more mature player than what he was a couple years ago, and we're starting to see Jack Eichel slowly move into the top guys in the game.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a perfect example. Last year, I had Austin Matthews, I think, around 10 or 9 or 10, when everybody was putting Austin Matthews at 5 last year. And I'm like, well, let's see some consistency out of Matthews. Obviously, he hasn't played a full season because he's been injured a lot, as has been Jack. So I think that's hurt him. But, you know, again, he put up 30 goals again, even with injury-riddled seasons Austin Matthews has. I put him in my top 5 this year. And I think we can do the same thing with Jack next year, seeing if he has a really good season, see if he makes his team better, possibly get into the playoffs. If that happens, I think Jack Eichel drops up into the top 10 for sure for me.
All right, let's start gambling a little bit here. Jeremy Roenick on the show from Portugal. And we all like to gamble a little bit, I think. JR, we know you're on the course sometimes gambling. So here, let's give you some odds for guys and goals this year. You guys can give me the here called the Old Man Riverboat Casino, but for time's sake, we'll skip that. But my point is, Jeff Skinner, over under 32 and a half goals, and then we'll start with some other players around the league, but we'll start with the Buffalo guy.
Oh, 32. I'm going to say under.
32 and a half.
32 and a half, I'm going under. I think guys that sign huge contracts like he did have the ability to just take a step off the accelerator. you know, have a little bit of comfort. And I think Skinner, still being a great player, I think he's going to get 27, 28 next year.
What? I absolutely do not agree with anything that you just came out of your mouth there, JR, for the first time. I'll tell this. I think Jeff Skinner was on pace last year before the Buffalo Sabres in general really fell off in their game. He was on pace for 55. I think that
he was in a contract year. He was playing for a contract. And you see in the National Hockey League, every year these guys have big years. In their contract years, they take advantage of that situation. They bang out huge contracts, and a lot of times next year is an off year.
I'll give you that. I'll give you the contract year thing, but I'll also say that I think this guy will score. I'm saying over, and I'm not going to say he's going to get 40. I won't say that. I won't even say he gets 38, but I think he gets 34. I think he definitely gets 35 goals this year. I think he – now.
Listen, I don't disagree with you. He has the ability to. There's no question. Obviously, his injury factor. He's got to stay healthy. But if he plays 70-75 games, I think he's gonna score just under 30. It'll be really good to watch this unfold as the year goes through.
Now I see why you guys got along so well, because misery loves company. And I was in a terrible place when Riv came to play with us, so that's why he sucked me in. That's what he does.
I am 100%. I feel very confident about saying right now that it's going to be over. Well over 32 and a half.
Give me another one.
Okay. Let's go Leon Draisaitl, 39 and a half.
He goes over. I think he scores in 40s next year. I think that guy is going to get a lot of ice time. Obviously, again, him and McDavid playing together, I think he gets over 40 again. I think he was one of the breakout players of the year last year.
Okay. Rev, you want to chime in on that? I have a really interesting one next.
I'm going over. No question. If he plays on the left side with Connor McDavid, there's no question he will score over 39.
All right, here's the next one. Where are we here? Oh, I lost it. No, I didn't. Here we are. Okay. They have Jake Guentzel at 35 and a half.
I go under. I'm going under with Jake Guentzel. I think, I've heard rumors that Pittsburgh's trying to get rid of Malkin and has actively looked to get rid of Malkin. Hmm. If that happens, you know, Crosby's going to have a bigger load. I think a lot more pressure on him. Guentzel's going to have more pressure on him. No Kessel. It'll be a different mentality if that happens. And I love Jake Guentzel. I love the way he plays. That 35, 36 goals nowadays is so tough to come by. I'm going to go just under.
I'm going to go under that also. I think he'll be the high 20s. Probably 28, 29.
I think he's going to be 30, but it's going to be close. I think he gets 30, but doesn't quite catch that 36 level.
I don't even care about the next guy. I mean, are you serious about Malkin?
Yeah, very serious.
Have you heard of teams that are in on him?
No, from what I understand, they've had a lot of trouble trying to get what they feel is the proper market value for him.
What is the market value for a guy like that? I mean,
last year was probably one of the worst years of Malkin's career. He led the team in penalty minutes. His frustration level was off the charts. It almost seemed to me like he was finally sick and tired of being, you know, Crosby's shadow. He looked to me very uninterested in a lot of games. Didn't have the bite and the determination or the drive that I'd seen from him in the past. And me being a big Malkin fan, that disappointed me. While he still has that potential, I think they want to see if they can do something different with him and get something back from something younger.
Players, when they play that many games, and we talked about Crosby so many times, by the way, it's Crosby's birthday today, but we've talked about so many different players on great teams like Chicago and Pittsburgh, even LA for a few years, but not for enough years, where just when does the fatigue just set in where they, I don't want to say take a season off, but I mean kind of, you know, take a season off.
The top guys, normally, that their mentalities are are the same every single year. You see Crosby, you see Kane, McDavid. All these guys have that same killer instinct day after day and game after game, which is why it's a little bit troublesome when you see something happen like Malkin like last year. You know, it's one thing to have small numbers, littler numbers, but it's another thing to have the highest penalty minutes on your team and see the facial expressions and the body expressions that come out. That's become a little bit nerve-wracking if I'm a GM. So, Patrick Kane, is Patrick Kane going to be able to continue the pace that he's on with 40 goals and 100 points the way he has the last couple of years and making sure that his team gets back into the playoffs?
You tell me. His odds are 35.5 goals.
Oh, he goes over 35.5 goals next year. I think he scores 40 again next year. I mean, here's a guy who's knocked on the door of 50 goals twice over the last 3 years now and has petered out at the end. But I just think I've seen him this year. He looks great. He's been working out with the stick handling guru, and, you know, making sure he's ready again. I think Patrick Kane's going to have another big year again.
I got to ask this question. You knew about Kessel going to Arizona. Is that because he's the guy that bought your house?
No. I wish you would have bought it a lot earlier than I sold it. But, you talk to people. You talk to people on the inside. You know, people that have the inside scoop. And I knew that Kessel wasn't going to leave Pittsburgh unless it was going to play for Rick Tocchet. So, that came to fruition. And luckily for Pittsburgh, it did, because if Phil Kessel would have stayed in Pittsburgh and he would have got angry or pouty, boy, could have Phil Kessel made the Pittsburgh Penguins just a miserable wreck with his attitude if he wanted to. But that's not going to happen, though.
So you're in Portugal. I'm just looking up the top 10 Portuguese alcoholic drinks. Now, I don't want to give the wrong impression, but you're on vacation. So I'm reading number one, Portuguese beer. There's one called Super Brock or Sagres. Have you heard of these over there yet?
Listen, I don't drink beer much anymore, so I haven't had any beer. I've had the port, which has been amazing, and I've had their white and red wine, which has been absolutely spectacular. I'm very surprised at the quality of their wines. So,
what about you? Have you had any port after dinner? You seem like a guy that might like a little glass of port after a little Porto.
Well, you have to do a port here. I don't know the names of any of them yet because we just got here.
There's the Fonseca, Ramos Pinto, the Grahams, the Kopke, and Taylor's.
I had the Grahams last night. That's the one I had last night. And I'll tell you, it is such a big thing here after dinner. It's a port with a shot of espresso, and trust me, you go home feeling pretty good after a night of eating in Portugal.
Portuguese sangria is on there. They even give the.
I'm telling you here, guys, not the alcoholic beverages, but the ceviche here. I told you this earlier. Is like nothing that you have ever seen in your life here. It is absolutely spectacular. So. I'm telling you, you guys got to make a trip over here. I would skip England. I would skip France. I would skip Germany. I would come straight to Portugal and then head over to Spain later. But yeah, I'm telling you, it's a true hidden gem here.
Well, Riv and I are owed signing bonuses on September 1st. So, you know, maybe we'll head over before the season starts.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, I don't know what day you're going to get me next week, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday, but you might catch me at the end of Portugal. Or you might catch me at Croatia next week. So, whatever, we'll see what day you get to me next week.
We'll grill you about Croatian booze next week then. Hey, thanks for your time.
Sounds good.
And enjoy the rest of the trip. And tell Catherine Tappan that we would love to have her on the show as a guest here sometime.
All right. Catherine, they want you on the show next week.
That's one way of doing
thumbs
it.
Thumbs up.
That's yeah, I'm sure she did. Yeah. Who is
that
it?
Was the finger, JR.
That was the finger, JR.
By the way, it was the thumb. It wasn't the middle finger, so yeah. You guys are good.
Well, sometimes people put the thumb up when giving the middle finger, so you might want to get clarity on that. Thanks for your time, JR. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, boys. Hey, Griff.
Yes.
Get in a better mood, will you?
Oh,
I'm feeling good right now, JR.
I know you're happy now. Boy, I love you. I love you guys.
Yeah. Enjoy, enjoy.
Yeah, a bunch of grumpy bastards. Right. We'll be right back in a little bit. A few minutes on the other side of the break. We'll recap, you know, goal scoring odds and Skinner's odds. We've got to talk. The odds are out. Why does JR think that the odds on Skinner are under 30? We'll talk about that. Riv heavily disagreed with him. And recap a few more Jason Botchell's comments, and then we're out of here. Hopefully some big news happens between now and the next segment. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. We'll be right back. All right, Jeremy Roenick is in Portugal, and they're known for sangrias over there. So Riv has a good story about... I have a good story about sangria, hockey related. Probably sums up, you know, why I had to quit drinking down the road. But I've had some fun on sangria.
No, I don't even know how we got into that conversation onto sangria. But
it's one of the top 10 drinks in Portugal.
Is that what it is?
That's
okay,
why I went down that path.
You know, I had sangria once in my life. I remember being over in Barcelona, Spain with my wife, and there was a street, a real special street in Barcelona, Spain called La Ramble or something like that. La Ramble.
I'm sure that's exactly how they Ramble-a. Pronounce it.
And it was an amazing street. It's about probably about a kilometer and a half. So let's say a mile. Street performers, constant street performers. It was amazing. Everywhere you looked and sat, you were in awe all the time. Vendors for food and drinks and just so much happening going on in the street. It was absolutely incredible. But I remember after walking for quite a while in Barcelona, we ended up sitting down. We ended up ordering this great big jug of sangria. And my wife and I, had a couple drinks. Well, she had one, and I had like seven. It was amazing because we had sat there for probably 2 hours drinking all this sangria. I think we maybe had a couple pitchers, but anyway, I remember getting up, and I'm not kidding when I say this. I couldn't put the one foot in front of the other. Sitting down was fine. Standing up. Having to walk just a couple hundred feet to get into my hotel, absolutely bombed. Completely bombed.
It's good stuff.
And if my wife is listening right now, she is going to lose it. But I'm going to tell you, we had a special dinner that night that we had planned to go to. Done.
Absolutely. You didn't make it?
I did not
make
it.
Did she go? You don't even know if she went.
You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I'm pretty sure that she went out on her own. I'll tell you got it. You got to watch
that
stuff.
Like, was
it was drinking Kool-Aid? It's like drinking Kool-Aid.
Well, do you want to know what's in it? Here, let me. Like, I mean, for
it's
those
pink,
of you,
right? It's
well,
pink.
I think it can be. They give the ingredients here. There's it for eight portions. So for that's about right. One for your wife and seven for you. Two oranges. One pear, one apple, eight strawberries, one lemon, three soup spoons of brown sugar, one cup of old, I don't know what that is, it's a strong Portuguese alcohol, one cup of port wine, two cinnamon sticks, six mint leaves, 750 milliliters of red wine, and then 500 milliliters of soda water. So, yeah, you're feeling all right after that. So we were in Florida. We had a day off. We did a little fun workout on the beach or something.
Yep.
It was 06, 07, a year that you don't like talking about. And we had a day, we had 2 days in between games or something, and we had a practice the next day at the St. Pete Time Forum. So the guys come in from the workout, and I was quick to shower. It was like 1 p.m. I was quick to shower, and boom, out I went with, jeans and flip-flops and a T-shirt by myself, right? I didn't want to bring anybody else down with me. I was going to go enjoy the weather, have a couple. My original plan was have a couple Coronas. Well, I bump into the Mad Russians on the way out, old Maxi. I know it had to have been the year before because Tree was there, Dmitry Kalinin. Okay. So the couple of the Mad Russians, we went out and we went to this place. I don't know what it was called. It was in Clearwater. And we sat there and it was just myself and Tree having a pitcher of sangria and some calamari. Well, then Maxi shows up. Well, then Maxi calls some guys. Next thing you know, we have this whole table of the whole team and just pitchers and pitchers of sangria going around. Well, the bushes on the other side of the fence. So this is what happens when you get drunk, right? The bushes on the other side of the fence were like they were really stiff. Like stiff, like they looked like just normal, like a hedge. But the only difference is all the branches were like half an inch in diameter, if not a little bit more. So anyway, I make the joke, you know, obviously self-deprecation and being a comedian, you know, I'm making fun of the ice time and everything, right? And we're going into Tampa, and I put my one leg over the fence, and I'm like, hey, Lindy, am I up? And I jump over the boards while I fall into the bush, and the bushes barely break because they're so brittle. The one goes through my shirt, into my skin, into my rib cage, and it is like stuck.
Lodged into
my skin, like into my lat. Okay. So like I'm sitting there and I have this through like a hole in my shirt and a twig literally stuck into my rib cage. Okay. So I had to pull that out. I got blood dripping down the side of my shirt.
Was it a white shirt or black shirt?
It was a green shirt. It was a green
dark
shirt.
Dark green shirt?
Light green
That's
shirt.
That's not good then.
Light green shirt.
Because you could have stayed there, just, you know, put your arm down on the
I
wound.
I did. No, I just took the napkin, stuffed them under, and just kept going until about 3 a.m. But my point is, I got to the rink the next day. Okay, I woke up, completely forgot that this had happened, couldn't understand why I was rolling over on my one side, and I couldn't even breathe. And I get up, there's blood on the bed. I go to the rink early, see T-Mac. I think T-Mac was, it was T-Mac, and he's like bandaging me up. Then we had to go practice, and the sweat.
Any stitches?
No. No, we tried to keep this one
stereo
quiet.
Stereo strips.
We tried to keep this one quiet. Try not to share that.
You stereo strip it when you want to keep it quiet, right?
I don't know what we did. Well, you would know about keeping wounds in the rib cage quiet, Saku.
See, the trainers there can glue it and stereo strip it. But
anyway, that was it's all due to the
good story.
No, it's not. It's all due to the sangria.
Yeah.
So it'll get you every time. There's that. That's the end of that
good
segment.
Stuff.
Let's
good
go
stuff.
To break. I don't know if that had any relevance, but pretty good example of who I was back in the day. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Final segment coming up. We'll recap again. Oh. You got to go check. Go check out Twitter, Riv. Go check out. And we'll be right back. Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, we have a couple minutes left here in
Craig
the show.
Craig, had to read that.
And we need to get in our buy-sell trade, and since I did not watch the Hard Knocks last night, our buy-sell trade, presented by Buffalo Sports, is Hard Knocks made the Raiders look bad last night.
Look bad? Is that the hard? Is that it?
That's it.
Look good. Buy-sell trade.
Whatever, JJ. This is my show.
Yeah.
Hard Knocks.
And he read that from a piece of paper, ladies
yep.
and gentlemen. So buy, sell, trade, Hard Knocks made the Raiders look good last night? I think
look
so.
Good.
I have 3 stars. I'm going to buy this. I have 3 stars from last night in Hard Knocks. If you don't watch Hard Knocks, I'm a big Hard Knocks guy, big embedded guy, because I love the behind the scenes. I love the conversations. I love seeing how different coaches interact with players. And I'm sure it's different because the cameras are on. I mean, obviously, when the cameras are on, everyone's going to act a little bit differently. I mean, look at us. We don't swear for 2 hours. So my point is that when the cameras are on, it's hard to get a true depiction of what somebody is. But I thought John Gruden and the way he communicated with his players and the message that he had right off the start, and if you haven't seen it, go watch
the way he handled certain situations,
certain
because
situations.
You told me that there was a certain player.
Well, there's a rookie on this team that I bet if he were on your team, you know, back in the old days, there would have been a fight in the locker room, okay? Like, I mean, just a young rookie, first-round pick, just telling a coach, you can't cut me, coach. Like, whether he's kidding or not, you know, like, I like to talk. I like to joke around and all that stuff, but there are certain things you say and you don't say to coaches, regardless of the stance you have with them or position you have with them, especially in open forum in front of your teammates. And when a first-round pick said, I don't even know the guy's name, Abram,
pick that they traded Khalil Mack.
Yeah, in the Khalil Mack deal. I guess he's a really good player, but he just seems like, I don't know.
But do you need that in that game? Do you need that confidence, that cockiness to be able to really be the best at what they do? they need that? Like, I know it's irritating to maybe see or hear, but is that something that those guys need?
Well, it's interesting because if I'm on that team, I like that guy. I mean, I don't think, you know, I worry for that guy about how other players are going to perceive, how the veteran players, how the leaders, the captains, and the coaches are all going to. But I like that guy. I like a guy that has
swagger. Well, you told me today that I didn't see the show, but you said, Ribs, you would have killed this guy in the dressing room. Here's the thing. I like young players that have cockiness and have confidence. There just has to be some respect also at the same time. But you want guys to play with confidence. And when you talked about him being a high-end football player that's going to make that team better, you need those guys to feel really good about themselves and confident. And I'm okay with that as long as it doesn't cross the line, right?
So he was the second star. So Gruden was the first star. I'm a big John Gruden fan.
Yeah.
Before he even became a coach in the NFL, I just loved watching him break down videos, talk to prospects at the draft, you know, the quarterback, all that. I love when he goes through video with guys because he actually makes me believe, like, I know I understand what he's saying. He explains it so well. But the other guy was this. They let a guy go on the show who was given a few chances, but he was kind of a long shot. And I think that one of the issues with him was his work ethic. And the coach, his position coach, and I don't know his name, might have been one of the line coaches, actually said to him, just like gave him some great advice early in the show, start of camp, and then right before they let him go. And what I loved about it was they just showed that they care about the players and want to make sure that every guy has the same chance to make the team as the next guy, whether he's a superstar or not. And I love the show. I love going behind the scenes, and it's a different sport, so I can't act like I have been there or know it. I just get to enjoy it and, you know, see it as a fan. But go check it out. It was on HBO last night, and we're back tomorrow. One Bills Live next right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. See you then.